Hey, my name is Pastor Gary, and it's great having you with us today. We believe moments like this are never accidental. If you're watching today, it's because God knew that you needed this reminder that you're seen, that you're loved, and that peace is closer than you think. At Central Church, we believe knowing Jesus changes everything, not just someday, but right now. If this is your first time or you're just catching up, you belong here. Just text WELCOME to the number on the screen, and we would love to walk with you and show you more about what Central has to offer. One of the ways that we see lives being changed every week is through the next generation. Because of your generosity, kids are learning God's word, building faith-filled friendships, and discovering who Jesus is through Awana. What you give doesn't just support a ministry, it invests in young hearts and eternal impact. So thank you for your generosity and for being a part of what God is doing in the lives of children and families. As we prepare our heart for today's message, remember this: no matter where you're watching from, no matter what this week holds, I hope that you will listen to this message today and find what it means to draw closer to Jesus in 26.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Let me go over a few things before we get into the message. If you're interested in helping with Kids Church, we need Kids Church teachers and helpers. You can text Sammy, or you can sign up outside of the classroom today. You can sign up to be a teacher or just a helper, where you get to go in and shadow and kind of see how things are going before you step into teaching. But we would greatly appreciate you helping us by serving in that capacity. We're launching 21 Days of Prayer next Sunday. You can sign up by texting the word PRAY to our text and church number. If you're new to Central, we invite you to sign up for Growth Track starting January 25th. It's a two-part class, so it's two Sunday nights in a row that talk to you about next steps on your faith journey. You get to know more about Central and what we're all about, what we believe, and direction that we're going, and the vision and mission of Central Church. There's a spiritual gifts assessment that goes in there, so you can find out in what areas that you're gifted, and you can learn about how to get involved and how to start serving here. So you can sign up at the Welcome Desk for that. Connect groups this week. Celebrate Recovery meets tomorrow night. Celebrate Recovery is our recovery ministry for any hurt, habit, or hang up that you or somebody that you know may be going through. And so I would encourage you to come and check that out. If you haven't checked it out before, it's absolutely phenomenal. We have an optional meal at 5:30, which is always great food, by the way. Worship starts at 6:30. Child care is provided. Check your bulletin for other Connect Group info. We're having a Connect Group preview night today from 5 to 6:30. Plan to attend to learn more about our Connect Groups, how you can get involved, how you can lead one, how you can start one, things like that. So there's going to be a lot of food here. So encourage you to come and check out our Connect Group preview night. Let me pray, and we'll get into the message. God, you are everlasting and eternal, and God, you are never changing, as we just sang about. And we're so thankful, God, that you're the same Jesus yesterday, today, and forever. And what you've done in the past, you can and will do again. And we're thankful that we get to hold on to that promise and that understanding that you're with us, that you'll never leave us, that you'll never forsake us, that you're taking us from where we are to where it is that you want us to be, that you're molding us into the men and women that you've called and created us to be. And so, God, I just pray this morning, as we talk about growth and we talk about spiritual growth, that each one of us would begin to develop a plan in our lives of how we're going to grow spiritually in 2026. And God, that we would be seeking you for our next steps. And God, that we would be obedient immediately in taking them, that we would start doing what you say start doing, that we would stop doing what you say stop doing, and we would just listen to your voice, that this would be a year where we yearn to hear your voice daily in our lives and to feel your peace and comfort and guidance as we take this journey with you, Jesus. And so, God, I pray, as we open your word, that you would speak to our hearts and renew our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you got a Bible, grab it, open it, turn it on, follow along on screen in your outline, or use the Central Church app. Psalm 73 is where we're going to start, but we're going to jump around to a few different verses today, so it may be easier to just follow along on screen or in your outline so you're not flipping all over the place. We're starting a brand new series today to kick off 2026 called The Best is yet to come. And it really is. In Jesus, everything is better with Jesus at the center. And in Jesus, the best is always yet to come. Every single year at this time, I take a few minutes to make fun of people who have made New Year's resolutions. Now, how many of you, just be honest, how many of you have made some sort of New Year's resolution in the past? All of us, right? That's pretty much all of us. Now, I did some research this week, and the top three resolutions are the same every year. Number three is to save money. And for me, that's never been a resolution because you've got to have it to save it. Amen? So save money. Number two and number one are interchangeable. It's get in shape, lose weight. Get in shape and lose weight. Now, that's great if you have some resolutions. If you have plans to save money, plans to get in shape, plans to lose weight, all that is great. Resolutions are great. The problem with resolutions is most people don't actually have a plan. Like, I could say I want to get in shape and lose weight, but if I sit on my couch and eat pretzels and watch Netflix, I'm never going to get in shape. And so I've got to have a plan for my resolution. Well, what I want, this is what I want. I want for 2026 to be one of the best, if not the best year for you spiritually that you've ever had. And so I'm going to present some things to you today. These are not resolutions. What I'm putting forth today are not resolutions. This is a plan that I've laid out. It's a plan that I've laid out for me. And this is the plan I've laid out for everyone at Central in 2026 if you want to have a great year spiritually. Now, it's not super complex. Because if you know me, I'm not super complex about anything. It's really, 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 really simple. But I think if we follow this simple plan, that it'll set us up for spiritual success in 2026, unlike never before. So here we go. It's really simple. We're going to dive in. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. Number one, the first thing you need to do, go to church. Now, the fact that I would even say those words is a miracle, because I grew up hating church. Now, every time I say that, somebody approaches me and says, Pastor Ryan, hate is such a strong word. And I always say, I know. That's why I used it, because I hated church. Now, did anybody have that experience when you were growing up, you hated church? The reason why you most likely hated church is because it was boring. It was boring. I grew up Catholic. I grew up not enjoying church because I didn't get anything out of it. Because the church I went to was so incredibly boring. And I thought that God was boring. And so I wanted nothing to do with the church, and I wanted nothing to do with God. So the fact that a friend of mine kept inviting me to church and wouldn't leave me alone, and I finally went to church and got involved in a church, is an absolute miracle. Now, some of you might look at this and you might say, oh, that's simple, Pastor Ryan, go to church. I'm at church every week. Some of you aren't. And I'm talking about go to church, be in the building every single week. I'm talking about being here. I'm talking about showing up in the house each and every week. I'm so glad that we have an online service, but I'm talking about in the building each and every week. Now, I just read an article in our local Carroll newspaper that talked about church attendance, and they had interviewed three pastors of three churches here in this town. They didn't interview me. I have no idea why, but they didn't come to me. But the pastors they interviewed all talked about their church attendance and their decline in church attendance, and they talked about COVID still being in play. Let me tell you what COVID did for us. COVID taught us some lessons. COVID taught us that if you watch the news enough, it'll freak us out. Amen? And I'm going to let you know. I'm just going to say this as often as I can, just so everybody can know. We shut down during COVID because they were telling us that people were going to drop dead in the streets. Y'all remember that? People are going to drop dead in the streets. It's going to be awful. And none of that happened. And I think there's still a fear that something like that is going to happen again. In fact, I just read reports of a new strain that's coming out right now, and everybody's getting sick. And I'm just telling you this. We are never, ever, 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 ever again shutting down as a church. Because this is what I learned. This is what I learned. When chaos happens, the one place in the community that needs to be open is the church. Amen? I mean, they didn't shut the liquor stores down. I heard from somebody. I don't know from example. I'm just saying we're not going to shut down ever again because the church is a place we need to go. I had somebody tell me this at Christmas services. This is what they said. I hear this about each and every week. They've said, Pastor Ryan, I've always watched online, but there's something different about being in the house. It is so true. That is such a true statement. And so I'm telling you, for those of you that may be close and you watch online, it's time in 2026 to go to church. For those of you that only come once or twice a month, I'm telling you, each and every week, show up at church. That means get up, take a shower. I don't know, get dressed. Please get dressed, put on some clothes. But show up here in the house, because I believe God is going to do something special in your life, in this house, in 2026. One of the reasons I love the Bible is because of how honest the authors of the Bible are. One of the things about the Bible that's so intriguing to me is that the people who wrote the scriptures not only tell about the good stuff, they tell about their bad stuff too. They talk about their trials. They talk about their tribulations. They talk about their struggles. And I was reading through the Psalms recently, and in Psalm 73, the psalmist gets really honest. And this is what he said in 73, verse 2. He said, "But as for me, I almost lost my footing." Watch this. "My feet were slipping and I was almost gone." Let me pause. We've all been there spiritually. We have all been there spiritually. Every single person, you've been right there. In fact, some of you are right there right now. And I'm not saying that to shame anybody. I'm saying that to let you know that one of the authors of the Bible was right there. Now, several things can lead to this. We can lose a friend. We can lose a loved one. It could be a job loss. It could be financial difficulty, whatever. But we've all been at the place where we've almost slipped. And I saw this week. Statistics show that during the COVID crisis, when almost all the churches were shut down, that so many people went backwards in their walk with Jesus. So I love it because the psalmist says, he said, "I was at a place where my feet almost slipped." And for the rest of Psalm 73, he goes through and he lists a bunch of circumstances that were causing him to have this spiritual problem. But then he circles back around and he says this in verse 17, "Then I went to your sanctuary, O God, and I finally understood. My feet were almost slipping, but then I went to church. And when I went to church, this thing, I began to understand what was happening. I began to understand what was going on." And I'm telling you, something happens in the house when we all get together. By the way, I love our worship here. I love the worship team. Anybody else? Anybody with me? I love loud music. I love loud. I had somebody tell me one time, and I have the gift, the spiritual gift, of being a smart aleck. I don't know if you know that about me or not, but I had somebody tell me one time, "I didn't really like that song we sang." And I was like, "You know what? We weren't singing it to you, boy. So if we ever do sing a song to you, you get to evaluate. But every song we sing from this stage is going to be loud, and it's going to be about Jesus, or the devil went down to Georgia. One or the other, okay? There's something powerful that happens, though, when we get together as a body of believers, good days and bad days, spiritually strong and spiritually weak, and we begin to put our focus not on our circumstances, but on our Savior, and we begin to exalt Him, and we begin to lift Him up. God does something in every one of our hearts. I have never been in this church where I didn't see Jesus do something in my life each and every week. Now, I want to share something with you. This is simple. This is going to be review, but I'm going to say this a lot because this is the vision that we've got to keep coming back to over and over and over again. And I just want this to be the thing that everybody can say from memory. The mission of Central Church is connecting people to Jesus and each other. But the vision is that Central Church is a place where people, all people, everybody say all people. All people experience the presence of Jesus every single week. That's the vision. And when I say all people, I mean all people. I'm so thankful. I'm going to let y'all know. I'm so thankful for the reputation that our church has. And when I say that, let me tell you what I mean. Every week without fail, it happened right before this service started. Every week without fail, I meet somebody that tells me how clean they've been. "I've been clean for a week. I've been clean for 3 days. I've been clean for 30 days. This dude told me I've been clean 82 days. I celebrate that. I shared this before. I celebrate 3 days as much as I celebrate 3 years because I just want people. Here's what I know. You can't come into the presence of Jesus and stay the same. You will either leave or change. Those are the only two options you have. When you get into a church where you experience the presence of Jesus every week, you either leave or you change. So I've shared this in the past, this chart. This is the spiritual growth chart. And all the way on the left, negative 10, that's like an atheist. That's like the hardcore atheist. So far from God, doubting there's a God, and you begin your journey to the right. Before zero, that's all of your life before Jesus Christ. And at zero, all your sins are zeroed out and you begin to move to the right spiritually. So no matter where you are on this chart, I want you to be able to walk into this house and experience the presence of God. And so let me just ask everybody. I want everybody to do something for me, and I want you to be brutally honest with yourself. Find where you are on this chart spiritually. Where are you at? Where are you at? Brutally honest with yourself right here, right now. Where are you at on this chart? Maybe you've had a good year spiritually and you're at like a 7. Maybe you're at like an 8. Or maybe you've had some struggles and you're like a 2. The good part is once you become a Christian, you can't ever go back to the left side. Some people believe that you can. And if I believe that, I would get saved like every 5 minutes. So I'm not going to debate that theology. Somebody came up to me one day in the foyer and said, I would like to debate salvation theology with you. And I was like, well, you found the wrong person because I want a milkshake from Scoops, all right? Like, that's what I want. So find where you are. Now, here's what I know. Let's say you are a 2. Let's say you're like the psalmist, that your feet almost slipped. And you're a 2. Here's what I know about you. It's true about every single person. You show up in the house. You experience the presence of Jesus every single week. There's no way you stay at a 2. You move from a 2 to a 3. Now, what would happen in a community if several hundred people in their spiritual walk with Jesus just went from a 2 to a 3 over the course of a year? That could change so many things. Amen? A 2 to a 4. A 2 to a 5. A 3 to a 6. This is what I'm telling you. When you go to church, and listen, unashamed. The goal of this church is when you walk into this church, you experience the presence of Jesus. If you do that, I believe Jesus will do something significant in your life, in you and through you, and you will begin to grow. So not only go to church, the second thing I want for you to do is grow in church. Grow in church. Now, every once in a while, I'll have this conversation. I haven't had it here in a while because I've got a standard answer for it. Typically, somebody will come up to me and they'll say, well, you know, I'm coming here. I'm checking it out. I quit my last church because I wasn't getting fed. Right? You ever heard that before? Here's what I've discovered, and some of you have heard me say this before. One of the main reasons people don't get fed in church is because they didn't bring their fork. Listen, I've got 2 kids in their 20s. I stopped feeding them when they were like 1. They figured out how to feed themselves. So the issue of growth isn't that. It's not a being fed issue, because here's what I know personally. If I sit on the couch and feed myself continually, I will grow, but not in a healthy way. It's not going to be healthy. And that's not what I want for my life physically, and that's not what I want for us spiritually either. So how do we grow in church? How do you grow in church, Pastor Ryan? I don't know, but I'll tell you how I grew in church. I could tell you exactly how I grew. Letter A is when I began to serve. When I began to serve. Somebody told me one time, and by the way, any conversation we have in the foyer is wide open for a sermon illustration. If I'm talking to you personally, it's just me and you one-on-one, and it's a personal issue, we could table that. But everything else, wide open. I'll get you a shirt that says, I was today's sermon illustration, okay? So I was talking to a guy, and he told me, I want to do what you do. And I said, what do you mean? He said, I want to preach. I was like, well, we're kind of booked up here, like kind of full in the schedule. He said, well, how did you get involved in preaching? And I was like, well, I didn't preach. I just started serving. Now, for me, this is just the way. And listen, it's not because I was godly. Honestly, it's because I got tricked. I started serving the day after I became a Christian. And it's not because I'm godly. I prayed to receive Jesus on a Saturday night. I went to church that next Sunday morning. I walked up to the pastor after the service and I said, I just received Jesus last night. What do I do next? He said, you don't know what to do next? I said, I have no idea. He said, you need to volunteer. The cleaning team meets tomorrow. Be here. I was there. I showed up and they handed me a broom and a mop and a bucket of cleaning supplies and said, you're on bathrooms. And this is no joke. That church had like 16 bathrooms. And week after week, I showed up at the church and I began to serve. It was that thing that somebody just showed me, this is what you need to do. And it had nothing to do with the church because the church was good. The bathrooms in the church were going to get clean whether Ryan showed up or not. But what happened is when I began to serve is I actually began to grow spiritually. See, I've had people tell me, Ryan, I want to become a great person. I want to be a great dad. I want to be a great wife. I want to be a great husband. I want to be a great father. You know it's easy to be great? Do you know that? It's easy to be great if we will follow what Jesus said. Jesus was talking to his disciples in Matthew 20, and this is what Jesus said about greatness. Jesus said in verse 26, whoever wants to become great among you must be your, what's that word say? Servant. You want to be great? Do you want to be great? Start serving. And I'm not even talking about here in this church. You want to be a great husband? Serve your wife. You want to be a great dad? Serve your kids. See, when you begin to ask Jesus to shape your heart, to be a heart of a servant, then it's not about recognition. It's about spiritual growth. And so my question for people when they say, I want to grow, my first question is, where are you serving? Well, I've been meaning to. No, you haven't. You haven't. Because listen, I'm 51 years old. Here's the deal. When I want to do something, guess what? I do it. And if I don't want to do something, I don't do it. No excuses. And here's another thing. I'm just going to throw this out here for free. This has absolutely everything to do with everything that I'm saying. When people come up to me and say, well, you know, Pastor, I just want to go deep. My question back is, where are you serving? Because you're only as deep as the last person you served. You understand that? If you want to grow spiritually in 2026, get involved somewhere. And by the way, the best type of service I've discovered is putting our hands on where there's the greatest demands. Well, I'm gifted in prophecy. Okay, sweep the floor. I don't know. That seems beneath me. I mean, well, if you're gifted in prophecy, you would have understood I was going to ask you to sweep the floor, right? See, the problem in the church world too many times is we worship the gift and not the one who is given the gift. So I'm just saying, when I began to serve, I started growing. And the second way I began to grow is when I began to give. When I began to give. Y'all notice we don't talk about money around here a lot. You notice that? It's going to change in 2026. I'm talking about it every single week. Every week. I'm just kidding. We're not doing that. I'm not. Listen, the only group of people that get nervous when you talk about money is the people who haven't surrendered their wallet to Jesus. People have asked me, I've literally had this question, why should I give at Central? That's a great question. That's a really great question. I believe God clearly, Old Testament, New Testament, I could take you through scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture that tells us we need to be givers. In fact, nowhere in the Bible did anyone ever show up to a worship service empty-handed, ever. It's all through the scriptures. But for me, I'm giving it Central because I believe in this church, and I believe in what God is doing in this church. Let me ask you this question. I was thinking about a way I could communicate this at Central in a way that people in this church would understand. I just thought I'd ask it for kicks and giggles. How many of you have ever gambled? Would you raise your hand? Raise your hand. Come on. You've been to Vegas or Wild Rose. You've been on football, bought a lottery ticket. How many? Keep them up. Pretty much 100%, dear God. Okay. Here's what I know if you've ever gambled. If you've ever gambled, the reason you bet is because you thought you were going to win, right? You only bet on a winner. You only bet on a winner. The reason I personally give, the reason me and my family give here at this church is because I believe God has his hand on this church. And I believe we're going to see so many people won for Jesus Christ in the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 years. And if I'm going to bet, if I'm going to invest, I'm going to invest in a company that grows. I'm going to invest in a company that goes up and to the right. And when I give in this church, it's growing me spiritually, and I'm sowing into the work that God is doing. Now, so far, we've got go to church, and we've got grow in church, and number three is show the church. Now, I'm about to do something I love to do. Let me kind of back up a little bit and tell you this. It's not going to be a surprise for most people. Since I've been in ministry, I started serving in 1997. My first job in ministry was in 1998. I was a part-time youth pastor at a Southern Baptist church. I hadn't been a Christian but about a year, and I was in the ministry. Welcome to church world, especially Baptist church world. They just throw you into the fire. Now, you're going to find this hard to believe, but since that time period, I have always been in trouble with church people. I have the gift of ticking them off. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I remember the night they let me preach on Sunday nights because that's when I could do the least amount of damage. We had church on Sunday morning, then Sunday school right after that, and then you had to come back on Sunday night or else you lost your Baptist hood or whatever. And so I preached one Sunday night. We had about 50 people in the church. I had 8 kids in my youth group, and I remember I preached that night. I preached so hard that I was spitting, and I was preaching so hard about how we were going to reach the community for Jesus, and the community is going to be different, and I was pounding the pulpit. I was so excited. And afterwards, a lady came up to me. She was like a matriarch in the church. Like, she'd been going to church since God was a baby. So she'd been around for a while. And she kind of pulled me aside, and she said, I don't think you realize how we do things here. And I said, actually, I don't. I didn't know what she was talking about. And then she goes on to say, we don't really want any new people. I said, huh? And she said, yeah. We kind of like things the way that they are. And I said, oh, it's kind of like the mafia. Like, you got to get made to be in the church. Like, what? So we had a disagreement. I didn't stay there a lot longer. But the problem was, I began to realize that a lot of churches in America just have that kind of mentality. We don't really want any new people, or we don't want any of those people. Not realizing that to somebody else, you are one of those people. You know what I'm talking about? Those people. And so I just believe that we should be about God's business as the church. And so as the pastor of the church, I can tell you this year, invite people to church. Bring people to church. Get them in the building. Drag them. Bribe them. Lie to them. I mean, God will forgive you. Just get them in. Let's make it a priority to bring as many people as possible to church this year. One of our core values, invite boldly. Listen, this is one of my goals this year. Every year I ask the staff to write down 3 goals that they have for the year that they're going to strive for the year. This is one of my goals. This is one of my goals for this year. Add a 4th service. Add service number 4. We're getting so close. Last week, a guy came up to me in my card shop and said, how's church going? I was like, well, you know, it's really good. He said, I came one time and got turned away. There was no place to park. And I'm like, you're talking about like you came one time? You haven't been back since? I said, come back. You know what? I know a guy. We'll get you a seat right in the front row. Nobody ever sits there anyway. What would happen if we just decided, seriously, what would happen if we just decided, you know what? I want people in my circle to meet Jesus and for Jesus to change them. That could quite literally change this community. I want us to be about God's business. This isn't my idea, church. Jesus came up with it. This is what he said in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth, which is good. That's good news that he's got all authority. And by the way, he had just rose from the dead, so they bought into what he was saying. Then he goes on to say this, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. Now, let me stop real quickly. I've had people tell me, you know, I like church, but I was really wanting to go to a church that makes disciples. Well, that's great. That's awesome that you want that. That's what I want. We've got disciples in our church. If you go back and look at the word disciple in the Greek and break it down to its most simple form possible, all it means is learner. See, we've taken disciple and we've made it this spiritual kingsmanship, elite Navy SEAL spirituality. Listen, I love the Navy SEALs when it comes to defending our country, but Navy SEALs for Jesus, they're actually the ones that killed Jesus, the Pharisees. That's what I'm talking about there, the Pharisees. Jesus said, go and make learners of all the nations, baptizing them. We're going to do that in February. We're going to dunk some people. It's going to be amazing. Get signed up. If baptism is your next step, get signed up. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples. Teach these new learners to obey all the commands I have given you. Now, I love that because people say, oh, yeah, the commands. Jesus didn't give a lot of commands. Remember the night before he got hung on the cross, he's hanging out with his disciples. And he said, I'm giving you a new command. A new command I'm giving you. Love each other just as I have loved you. That's how we're supposed to go out and love. That's one of the commands. And people say to me all the time, are you making disciples? I'm like, I'm just trying to learn how to love people. People like you that are asking me that question right now. It's really hard. It's difficult. But what would happen? What would happen if we just said, you know what? we're going to focus on that one command, learn how to love one another. That would be amazing. And then he closes it up by saying this, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That right there is a promise we could take to the bank. I'm just telling you, as a church, let's do everything we can to reach as many people as possible. Let's do like what we say around here all the time. Let's do anything short of sin to reach as many people as far from God as possible. Because at the end of the day, I'm addicted to change lives. I love hearing stories. That was my most favorite series that we've ever done here in this church, was The Greatest Story Ever Told. Not because I didn't have to preach very much, but because I love hearing the stories. Not just the pretty ones, but the messy ones. And as long as people are learning and striving and trying to grow, we're going to celebrate that every single week we get together. Let's do what it takes, church, to reach this community. Amen? Last but not least, we've got to know that the best is yet to come because immeasurably more is coming. Now, I talk about this frequently, but the reason I talk about it so much is because my mind is so blown by this. Where we started as a church 14 years ago, Last Thursday was my anniversary, and not only was it my anniversary, it was also the anniversary of when I started here. So I just finished 14 years of pastoring this church. And where we were 14 years ago compared to where we are today, if you would have told me this is what you're going to have, I would have called you crazy. But that's why God's plans are greater than my plans, and his ways are greater and higher than our ways. We've got to like put our ways aside and turn it over and give it to God and submit to his ways. So I'm blown away by what God has done. And in fact, somebody asked me the other day, it's one of those questions, has anybody ever asked you a question and you know you should know the answer to it, but you have like a brain fart? Like this would be a lot of fun. Walk up to a couple today and look at the man and say, when's your anniversary? And watch the blood just run in his face. I know some of you are leaning over to your wife right now. I know our anniversary, baby. It's going to be a great conversation for somebody in the car ride home, though. Some of you need to pause right now and just ask your husband, when's our anniversary? But somebody asked me the other day, and I blanked. I just blanked. And it's something I should know. They said, Pastor Ryan, what's your favorite Bible verse? And all my Bible knowledge ran from my mind. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but I blanked. I've got a favorite Bible verse. I do. And I'm so guilty. I'm so guilty. I know I do this. I'll be talking, and I'll say, this is my favorite Bible verse. And I had somebody tell me one time, you say that about 170 different verses. I know. I always love what I'm reading. At the time, it is one of my favorites. But my favorite Bible verse, I mean, it's number one. This is my favorite Bible verse of all time. It's the verse I go to over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. It's Ephesians 3:20. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. You know what I stopped doing a while back? I stopped asking God for things that I wanted because I realized that I was asking him for things that are way too small. And I started asking things like, God, teach me how to think. Teach me to ask for what you want me to ask for. You talk about a mindset change, that'll blow your mind. Paul, from prison, by the way, writes, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we. See, Paul's not writing to an individual here. He's writing to the church. And he says he's able to do immeasurably more than all of us together could ask him. God is saying, yeah, I can do more than that. Immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work. God's power is at work in this church. God's power is at work in this church. Make no mistake about it. It's the power of God that changes people every single week. The power of God is at work in this place, in our lives, according to his power that is at work within us. Know that more is coming. And here's what some of you are expecting me to say, and this is where you're expecting me to go. It's like, well, if God has done this in 14 years, what's the next 14 going to look like? And da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. Put a pause on that. I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about each and every one of you. You know what I hope? I hope that when you walk into this place, you look around at this building, it's something that nobody on the planet had a clue that God was going to do this. I'm hoping you'll think, if God can do this with an empty building, what can he do with somebody he created in his image? Hey, I'll tell you what he can do. You want to know what he can do? Immeasurably more. I'm convinced that if we'll go to church, grow in church, show the church, and know that immeasurably more is coming, that you'll grow spiritually. This is a spiritual growth plan that works for everybody on this planet, no matter where you are. If you'll listen, I'm not as concerned about this church getting big. I want our hearts to get big, because this is what I know. If our hearts are enlarged for Jesus, the church growth will take care of itself. I really don't want to build big buildings. I want God to use this place to build big people with big hearts, who have big imaginations, who really do want to do big things for Jesus. That's how spiritual growth happens. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message of hope, for this message, Lord Jesus, to help us to understand where we are on that line. Lord, help us to continue to push forward into an 8 or a 7, Lord. Help us to know where you want us to go. And Lord, just continue to press in us that this year is a way for us, God, to draw closer to you. God, I thank you for that. And I'm excited for those that are deciding to follow after you. We give you glory. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. As we close today, maybe God was speaking directly to you. Maybe you've been searching for a peace, or maybe you've been knowing about Jesus, but today you realize that you want to truly know him. If you're ready to take a step of faith and receive Jesus for that very first time, we would love to walk with you. Simply text SAVED to the number on the screen, and we'll connect with you, send you a Bible, and support you as you begin this new journey. It is the greatest decision that you'll ever make, because when you know Jesus, you can finally know true peace. We'd also love to invite you to join us in person at one of our weekend services. Our Carroll campus meets at 8, 9:30, and 11. Our Creston campus meets at 10. And one more important invitation is that we are starting Growth Track class. It is a great opportunity for you to learn about what Central is all about, plus build meaningful relationships and find your gifts and talents. I know that this is a great opportunity for us to start that on-ramp in 26. Another real quick thing that we want you to know is 21 Days of Prayer is kicking off on the 18th, and it's exciting that we can be able to spend that time in prayer. Man, we love you, Central. We'll see you next week.